Why don't you take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, and open them up to Luke chapter 4. We're going to read one verse there, and then I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn over to Romans chapter 12, and we're going to read a verse there. So look for Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Now, tonight I have a very simple Bible study. It's a very practical Bible study, and it will be a help, I think, to everybody, because what I'm going to talk about applies to everybody in some area of your life. What I'm going to talk about tonight will apply to you, and it'll be a help. Now, when I tell you what I'm going to talk about, you may think that this is an oxymoron. You know, an oxymoron is something that doesn't make sense when you put the two words together, like airline cuisine, you know, good food on the airline. There ain't no such thing. Or hospital cuisine. There ain't no, you know. And so what I'm going to talk about tonight is beautiful music. And you might think, preacher, you're the last one that can talk about this. And I'll admit, I remember when the kids were little and we would stand in the pew together and sing, they'd always look up and then they'd move a couple steps over. And they'd whisper in my ear when they got older, "Don't sing so loud, Dad," just because they didn't think I could sing very good. It's funny, you know. I thought I've improved through the years, but I was singing to Aaron the other day, and he started crying. I said, "Oh man, somebody must have set me up." You know, they told him. And then I think I told you the story. We were with Leonard and Candy and Brian and Teresa, and Teresa was making the comment, said, "You know, I think Ryan has some potential. Maybe I could get him voice lessons." And I raised my hand and said, "Boy, I'd be glad to give him voice lessons." And Leonard said, "Yeah, that'd be like me teaching him how to read." And so you might think, "Well, what do you know about beautiful music?" Well, I heard a guy talking about it on the radio the other night. And so I'm going to tell you what he said, and I'm going to make the application. But there's two verses I want us to look at. First of all, Luke chapter 4, verse 16, where it says, "And he," Jesus, "came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." So I want you to notice in that verse, "and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day." Okay, now turn a few books over to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. And here's what this verse says. "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I was on my way home. I can't remember where I was, and I remember I was going home, and I was just scanning across the radio to find something, you know, to listen to on the way home. And I ended up with one of these, you know, stations that I think it was down in somewhere in Alabama. It was at night, you know, where radio waves travel. I wasn't on XM or anything like that, but just a small radio station. And you can tell there was one guy manning the station because he did everything. And he was talking about music. And he said, for music to be beautiful, there's two things that have to be true about it. First of all, for music to be beautiful, it has to have a rhythm, and everybody that's singing has to stick with that rhythm. In other words, the timing, the beat of the music. And like if a choir is singing or an orchestra is playing, in order for the choir or orchestra to make beautiful music, they all got to be on the same rhythm. They all got to be following the same beat, so to speak. And songs are written with a given rhythm. Now, we can change that rhythm depending on the occasion or how we're using the song. A good example, I think, that I could give you is the song "Trust and Obey." Sometimes we sing it as an invitation song. And usually when we sing it as an invitation song, we usually sing it a little bit slower. "When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word," so we sing it a little bit slower. But sometimes we sing it as a congregational song, And we sing it a little bit faster. When we walk with the Lord. Now, if we're going to make beautiful music as we sing that song, we got to all be on the same rhythm. So Leonard, help me tonight, okay? Just stand up right where you are. Trust and obey. You know that song, right? When we walk with the Lord. Okay, now you sing it like we're singing an invitation, all right? I'll sing it like we're singing a congregational song. All right? Okay. You ready? Here we go. When we walk with the Lord. You're singing too fast. Don't follow me now. Sing like an invitation. I'm trying to illustrate a point here. Okay, here we go. When we walk with the Lord in the light of. See? We're not on the same rhythm. Are we making beautiful music? No. It's a noise, right? With us two singing, it's probably a noise, but it's a joyful noise. That's right. So for music to be beautiful, you gotta follow the same rhythm. I mean, if the choir was singing and everybody was singing to a different beat, it wouldn't sound like music. All right. So you gotta have rhythm. And everybody's gotta be on the same rhythm. And then he said you have to have harmony. Now that's the key. That's the tune. That the song is written in, okay? And so, again, we change key sometimes because, you know, like Angie has a very high voice and Brother Harold has a very low voice, and maybe they can't sing the same song in the same key. And so we change the key, or we change the tune. And again, if we're going to make beautiful music like an orchestra or a choir, everybody's got to be singing the same tune. Everybody's got to be singing the same key. Everybody's got to be singing in harmony, okay? If two people are singing together and they're singing a different key, it doesn't sound like music. Okay, Angie, you help me with this one, okay? Oh, come on, stand up. Now, we'll sing the same song, When We Walk With the Lord.
I can't sing it.
No, you just sing it. I'll sing in a different key. I'm better at that than you are, okay?
Okay.
All right, you ready? When we all live the Lord. Oh, I can't. You're too strong for me. Sit down. Leonard, you stand up. Me and you can do this. I'm a follower when it comes to singing. So if you're singing good, I'm singing good. All right, you ready? We're going to sing in a different key. All right? All right, here we go. When we walk with
the Lord.
Oh, I can't do this. You're too strong for me, too. Sit down. All right, you guys get the idea. A different key. I mean, last time Adam and I sang together, if you remember, it was a debacle because he was on the right key and I was on the wrong key, and we sang all the way through, and I couldn't get on the right key. And so for music to be beautiful, everybody's got to have the same rhythm. Everybody's got to be on the same key, singing the same tune, so to speak. Now, as I was thinking about it, some life lessons came to mind. In life, everybody in certain situations needs to be on the same rhythm. They need to have the same timing. They need to have the same beat. They need to have the same schedule. It said there in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, verse 6, that as was his custom or his habit, or his practice, on the Sabbath day, Jesus went into the synagogue to read the scripture. So on the Sabbath day, that was his schedule. And that's what I'm comparing tonight to, a rhythm. I mean, you get into a rhythm in your life. Get into a schedule in your life. And that's the rhythm that people around you, if you're going to make beautiful music together, need to be on that same rhythm. I mean, if it was the Sabbath day, Jesus' rhythm or his schedule was he was in the synagogue. If it was the Sabbath day, you didn't have to ask, where's Jesus? You just go to the nearest synagogue and you would find him. So let me give you some examples from my life. When I was a kid, I spent a lot of time with my grandparents. And if I was with my grandma Gibson, my mom's mom, and my grandpa Gibson, and it was on a Monday in the summer, she was washing clothes. Every Monday was wash day. She had a round washer. It had some wringers on the top. As before, they had the rinse cycle, you know. And so she'd put the, you know, I'd help her. And we'd go down, she'd wash it, and I always liked to feed them through the wringer. Always got my finger crushed, Brother Harold, and, you know, and always messed up. But we'd run the clothes through the wringer. And then if the sunshine was out, we'd hang them on the clothesline. If it was raining, we'd actually had a clothesline down in the basement. And so if it was Monday morning, regardless of what else was going on in the world, she was washing clothes. Now, that was true from the time I was a little boy and spent some time over there in the summer till the time I was a teenager. If it was Monday morning, Grandma Gibson was washing. Now, when she got older, she moved across the street from my mom, and she got a new washer and a new dryer. Had a, you know, a spin cycle so she didn't have to run them through the wringer. And I'd go home from college, when I was in college, and if I was home on a Monday, you know what she'd be doing? She'd be washing her clothes. I mean, different machine, but every Monday morning, she washed clothes. Now, I went over my grandma Manning's, my grandpa and grandma Manning's, my dad's mom and dad. Their rhythm or their schedule was on Saturday morning, they went to the grocery store every Saturday morning. I can remember my grandma getting up early, sorting through her coupons and, you know, putting them in order, and we'd have breakfast, and then all three of us would get in a car, and we'd go to the grocery store. Grandpa would push the cart. He was very efficient. He did not go down the aisles. He just went to the end of the aisle. Grandma and I would go down the aisle. She'd pick the stuff. She'd say, hey, take it and put it in the cart. So I'd run up and down the aisles and put it in the cart. And, I mean, that's what we did every Saturday morning. If it was Monday morning, you didn't have to ask where my Grandma Gibson was. She was washing clothes. If it was Saturday morning, you didn't have to ask where my Grandpa and Grandma Manning were. They were at the grocery store doing their grocery shopping. So that was their rhythm. That was their schedule. They both understood what that schedule was, both my grandpa and grandma, and allowed them to sing the same rhythm, the same schedule. For example, my grandpa Gibson was the treasurer of the church. And so on Monday morning, the way he did it, he'd bring the money home and he'd count it, and then we'd go to the bank. And I can remember being as a kid, he'd let me count the change. You know, I count all the pennies and nickels and the dimes. He didn't let me do anything with the dollars or anything else, but I count to change. Now, so, I mean, Grandma was down the basement washing clothes. Grandpa was in his room counting the money. Now, they were in sync on their rhythm. They were in sync on their schedule. I mean, Grandpa Gibson didn't get up on Monday morning and say to Grandma, well, let's go to the zoo today. I mean, he didn't say that. He didn't say, let's go to the park today. He knew that on Monday morning, every Monday morning, she did her washing. I mean, Grandma didn't get up on Monday morning and say, hey, you know, Daryl's here, let's take him to a park. Because she knew that his Monday morning, his rhythm, his schedule was set on counting the money. Now, same, on the other side of the family. My grandpa Manning didn't get up on Saturday morning and say, Lucy, that was my grandma's name, Lucy, I got to change the oil this morning. Because he knew that Saturday mornings was when they went to the grocery store. He didn't get up and say, I got to cut the grass this morning. Because he knew that Saturday morning they went to the grocery store. So, here, I got 2 points tonight. First, number one, everybody needs a rhythm. You need to establish a rhythm in your life. You need to establish a schedule in your life. You need, and you need to live by that rhythm. For example, I'll just give you some examples. Sunday morning, 9:45, your rhythm ought to be in Sunday school. 11 o'clock, your rhythm ought to be in the church, in the worship service on Sunday morning. Sunday night at 6 o'clock, if you're in the choir, by the way, 5:30, 5:15, whatever time we start, you ought to be in choir practice. 6 o'clock, you ought to be at church. Wednesday night at 6:30, you ought to be at prayer meeting. I mean, you ought to establish that schedule in your life. I mean, you know, if you still have kids at home, they ought not to get up on Sunday morning and say, Dad, are we going to church this morning? They ought to know that they don't even need to ask the question. that it's Sunday morning, we're going to church. It's Sunday night, we're going to church. It's Wednesday night, we're going to church. You need to establish that rhythm in your life. You need to establish that schedule. If you're still working, or even if you're retired, you ought to have a schedule. Say, hey, this one I'm going to work. I got to go to work. I mean, I got 14 days left. For the next 14 Monday through Fridays, I'm going to get up and go to work. I have adjusted my time a little bit. I'm not getting there as early as I used to in the past, and I'm sort of leaving a little bit earlier than I used to in the past. I'm trying to get into that retirement mode, but I got a rhythm. You know where I'm going to be the next 14 working days. I'm going to be at work. And in every area of our life, life would be a whole lot easier for you and for those around you if you had a schedule and stuck by that schedule. See, I sort of think, I can remember my father-in-law. Come 12 o'clock noon, it was time to eat. I don't care what day it was. I don't care, what was going on. If he had company or didn't have company, at noon, every noon, he wanted to eat lunch. I think that's good. I don't think it's good, for example, and I know schedules sometimes mess it up, but I think you ought to have a dinner time. I think you ought to set a time, say, this is when we're going to eat dinner. Have a lunch time, this is when we're going to eat lunch. Have breakfast time, this is when we're going to have breakfast. And establish that rhythm in your life and in your family's life so that everybody knows, hey, at this time, this is what we're going to be doing. I think, for example, you ought to have a schedule where you schedule time to spend with your kids. Hey, if you're still working, in the evening, from this time to this time is my time with my children. From this time to this time is my time with my spouse. I guarantee if you don't schedule time and put it in your schedule and make it your rhythm, it won't happen. Because the devil wants to get us out of rhythm. He does not want us to make beautiful music in our lives. He wants us to not have time to do the important things. And if you don't put the important things in your schedule, I guarantee you, you won't have time to do them. You won't. You won't have time to spend with your spouse. You won't have time to spend with your kids unless you schedule it and make a point to do it and set that rhythm up in your life. So, point number one, get on schedule. Get on schedule. Number two, and this goes to the second verse we read, if you're sort of the supporting cast, in other words, if somebody else is setting the rhythm, then you do your best to harmonize with them, to sing with the same rhythm, with the same key. In other words, there are areas in our life where we are the leaders and we are the followers. If you are a leader and you're setting the rhythm, then you set the rhythm. And by the way, I found that most people in our lives want that rhythm. They want us to be predictable. Now, there are times when, it's a good thing to be unpredictable. But I would dare say, if you ask the husbands and the wives here tonight, if you ask the kids here tonight, for the most part, they would rather you as a spouse or you as a parent to be predictable. Now again, there's those special times in life where you're going to be unpredictable and surprise them. But my experience is most people don't want to live their lives day after day after day with somebody that's unpredictable. Well, what time are you going to be home tonight? Well, I'll be home at 5:30 tonight. What time are you going to be home tomorrow night? Well, I'll be home at 7 tomorrow night. What time are you going to be home tonight? I'll be home at 8. Most people don't like that unpredictability. They like a rhythm in life. They like to know, hey, it's 6 o'clock, you're going to be home, you're going to have dinner. And I know there's exceptions to all that, but and exceptions happen. But what I'm saying is most people like to have the rhythm. So if you are in a leadership position, you set the rhythm. If somebody else is in the leadership position, then you do your best to harmonize with them. In other words, get on the same beat, get on the same rhythm, sing in the same key. So let me give you some examples. So if your day to clean the house, for example, is Monday, let's say your day to clean the house is Monday, ladies, don't call your husband on Monday and say, let's go on a date, because they're cleaning the house on Monday. Right, Angie? Did you get it? Subtle humor there. I wanted... Huh? I was just seeing if anybody got it. But look, so I say, the ladies are cleaning the house on Monday. That's their day to clean the house. You know, as a husband, don't call them and say, hey, let's go out for breakfast today. You're messing up their rhythm. Now, they might like it every now and then. They might like you to be unpredictable every now and then. But if their day to clean the house is Monday, or if the husband's day to clean the house is Monday, don't every Monday mess it up with something unpredictable. Try to harmonize with them, knowing that, you know, Monday's the day to clean the house. Well, don't come to them with something else to do on Monday. Try to harmonize with their schedule, with their beat, so to speak. And here's what I found from my experiences. When you got two people, husband and wife, and they don't understand who's leading and who's following. I never danced. I only danced one time, and that was at my cousin's wedding. And she said, if you don't dance with me, I'm never going to talk to you again. So I danced with her. But it didn't last very long because I stepped on her toe about three times in the first 2 minutes. So she said, I don't want to dance with you anymore. But the little bit I know about dancing is that if both partners try to lead, you got a mess. And the same thing is true in, Harold, were you a big dancer? No? Okay. But if two people try to lead, you got a mess. One person needs to lead, set the rhythm, set the tune. The other person needs to harmonize. All right? Now, again, we have different roles. For example, when it comes to the choir, Adam is the leader. He sets the beat. He tries to set the tune. Sometimes we don't follow it often, but he tries to set the tune. My role in the choir is to be a follower. We say, well, Pastor, you're the pastor. You're always a leader. No, I'm not. When I'm in the choir, I'm under his leadership. My job is to do my best, try to harmonize with the rhythm and with the tune. Everybody else in the choir is the same way. That's our job as followers, is to try to follow his lead as far as the rhythm and the tune. But in other situations, he's the follower, and he needs to harmonize with his leader, me, in some cases. Now, same thing in our Sunday school classes. The teacher is the leader, setting the rhythm, setting the tune. We need to do our best to harmonize with him. When we're doing a special project, like when we give Terry, ask Terry to do something, and he gets other people to help him. He's the leader. He's setting the beat. He's setting the rhythm. We need to harmonize with him. Otherwise, we had trouble. We have trouble. Can you imagine if we had, let's say we're trying to put on a dinner, and we got eight different ladies trying to lead. Huh? Can you just imagine? Well, I want the potatoes over here. Oh, no, I want them over here. No, they need to be right here. We'd have a mess. We'd have potatoes all over the place. I want the meat over here. No, I want it here. That's why we try to say, just, you know, we got one person that's setting the beat, setting the rhythm, and we need to harmonize as much as we can. Now, again, I know this is not deep Bible. This is not astounding new truth. This is down to earth, practical kind of living that we just need to catch a hold of. And put into practice as we live in our homes and as we live in our church. It's also the same in our relationship with God. I mean, there are things that God sets the rhythm for, and if we want to make beautiful music, we need to follow his lead. For example, we don't get saved any other way than Jesus Christ. I mean, he set the rhythm in that particular manner. Neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only way to get saved. And if we're going to get saved, we're going to do it his way. And if we try to do it with a different rhythm or a different tune, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it. Same thing. He said in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, talking about the Bible. He said, hey, if you want to have good success in your life, then stay in this book, read this book, study this book, meditate this book, and then you'll have good success. Now, you can try to live your life without the Bible, but you're out of tune with God. You're out of sync with God. You're trying to sing the same song with a different rhythm, with a different tune, and you're not in harmony with God. And again, we run into trouble with God for the same reason we run into trouble in our marriages, and we run into trouble in our churches, and we run into trouble in our life. If we always try to be the leader and never learn how to be a follower and never learn how to harmonize, then we're going to be all messed up. I mean, when it comes to God, in most cases, He is the leader. We need to follow His beat, and we need to follow His tune. In your marriages, in our homes, there are roles that dad is the leader, and there are roles that mom is the leader. And we need to recognize what they are, and husbands and wives, and again, the problems that we have is we cross over into somebody else's area, and we try to be the leader when we're supposed to be the follower. And again, we get along a lot better if we realized who is the leader and who is the follower, and the responsibility of the follower is not to lead the leader, but to harmonize with the leader. And the same thing's true in church. We need to realize that God's given us leaders, and rather than try to lead the leader, we need to harmonize with the leader. And we can make beautiful music in our lives, in our homes, in our marriages, in the dealing with our and raising our children. I mean, again, when children try to lead the parent, they get in trouble. When they want to assume the leadership role from dad and mom, that's, you know, we call that rebellion, and they get into trouble. And dad and mom need to be the leader, set the rhythm, and teach their little ones how to harmonize with them. I mean, it's a child's nature not to harmonize with mom and dad. They need to be directed. They need to be corrected. They need to learn what it is to harmonize with the direction that mom and dad gives them. And so again, simple little truth, but if we could just catch a hold of it and apply it, we can make beautiful music. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed. Thank you for being here tonight, for listening.